right, another day, another Trump fiasco, and he gets pushed further into a corner. I know that you can't push baby into a corner, and he is a baby. But nonetheless, he's there right now. TikTok, TikTok. We have a tremendous number of updates for you guys on how all that is shaking down. And then Turkish president's bodyguards get into a fight here, not in Turkey, here in America. That's kind of a bad idea. So that's fun. We have video. That's also fun.
Fairly amazing video, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Slash, there's an argument to be made that it's not at all fun and a really bad idea. Okay. I think, well, the Comey news is definitely the biggest news. But in the second hour, we have great news that on any other day should be the top story of the day.
You're talking about the introduction of the male romper, right?
Okay. No, I'm not. Slash, don't know what that is. But okay. All right. But let's go forward. What do you got, John?
Surprise news today. Sheriff Clark, you're probably familiar with him from previous episodes of The Young Turks, is going to be joining the Trump administration. That is slightly less surprising news than it was to me when I found out that he wasn't already in the Trump administration. But he apparently is announcing today, reported by the Daily Beast, that he's going to be joining the Office of Partnership and Programs as the liaison with local governments and police departments. Now, a lot of people extremely angry about this because there are few more objectionable people in the country than Sheriff David A. Clark. We could do an hour on all of what he's done, but at least four people have died in his jails, including a newborn. One man was deliberately denied water and died of dehydration in his prison. I mean, he's previously said incredibly offensive things about how Black Lives Matter is going to work with ISIS to take over America. He said literally, there is no police brutality in America. There is no racism in America or in its police. The list goes on and on. And look, his administration is a murderer's row of crooks and criminals and that sort of thing. But he stands out even amongst all of them.
Yeah, he's an abomination. Young Turks contributor and Daily News reporter Sean King did a dozen tweets in a row of horrific things that police departments have done in the country that were clearly racist, such as, let's go hang some niggers. Okay, that was some of the things that were said by cops, and he has different cases of that type of usage of the N-word in San Francisco
and Florida,
and the list goes on and on and on and on. I don't want to get the cities wrong now. You can check it out for yourself there. So for Sean's point is for Clark to turn around and go, no, there is no police abuse, there is no racism among the police in America, is such an outrageous, outlandish thing to say. And you would only say that if you were looking to please people and get things like this, get money, get position, get power, and sell out your own people to do it. And that's exactly who Sheriff David Clark is. He's a giant, I'm going to be polite here and say sellout. There are other choice words that other people have used, I think appropriately so. But you know, even if you don't care about how much he ignores police abuse throughout the country, you can't let a man who let someone die of thirst in America, in his prisons, become anyone that is relevant to our security in America, because he's a monster. And he's, of course, as usual, grotesquely incompetent, which I know makes him fit in with the Trump administration. But if our security is in his hands, we're all in a lot of trouble because he does not care about your security. All he cares about is politics and how do I get paid by the white man.
Yeah, I mean, the possibility that he could, in coordinating with all these different local governments, police departments and all that, that he could spread these absolutely barbaric practices to more jails. I mean, he's already got a couple of bodies, blood on his hands already. The idea that he could take that national is incredibly scary.
Okay, last thing, if you're a conservative, you should also despise David Clark. If you claim that you're pro-life, an inmate was having a birth, they refused to give her help and refused to bring her a doctor, and she didn't have any help at all. The kid was born.
She was shackled during it.
Yeah, she was shackled. And then, of course, the baby died. So, I mean, he is the poster child for what you're supposed to fight against. Yeah. If you're pro-life, there should be no one you dislike in the country more than David Clark. He let that poor kid die, okay? Yeah. Dead. And so for this guy to be in charge of anyone's security is an abomination. Just when you thought Trump couldn't get worse, he's like, oh, I got an idea. Let's bring in one of the most loathsome guys in the whole country and put him in charge of security.
Yeah. Yeah, and perhaps even more sickening, there's some small chance, a 3% chance that he did it to distract from the news that broke yesterday, but I got news for him. We're covering both today.
Yes. Unlike cable news, we can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yes.
Yes, let's do
that. The New York Times reported yesterday on the contents of a previously unknown memo written by former FBI head James Comey concerning a conversation he had several months ago with President Trump. This is back in February. In fact, it was the day after Michael Flynn resigned, which is going to be important for the contents. And we want to talk about this because the revelations inside of it are absolutely mind-blowing. So Mr. Comey had been in the Oval Office that day with other senior national security officials for a terrorism threat briefing. When the meeting ended, Mr. Trump told those present, including Mr. Pence, the vice president, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, to leave the room except for Mr. Comey. And in fact, in some descriptions, he had to tell Sessions twice to leave the room. Sessions apparently felt that some would consider it to be inappropriate to leave Trump in the room with the man heading up the investigation into his campaign.
It's inappropriate to leave Trump in the room with anyone.
Exactly, yes, especially a woman. But more importantly, we go on a little bit into the memo. And Trump said this once the room had been cleared and he was alone with James Comey. Said, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Mr. Comey did not say anything to Mr. Trump about curtailing the investigation, replying only, I agree he is a good guy.
I certainly wouldn't have gone that far.
Yeah, but it's very similar to what he said after a month previous. Donald Trump had requested a loyalty pledge out of him. He said, well, I'll give you my honesty. He sort of like puts just a little book note there and then eventually writes it down. Now, he shared the existence of the memo back in February with senior FBI officials and close associates. And it is known by people who've worked with Comey for several decades that he does create similar memos throughout his career, and in this case has created them, including some that are currently classified, about every phone call and meeting he has had with the president. Now, this first one is a bombshell. God only knows what will be coming in the days and weeks ahead.
Yeah, so it's actually well-known fact by everybody that Comey writes those memos because he did it when he worked under Bush. And
yeah,
he objected to the warrantless wiretapping program, which was illegal in the beginning and continues to be illegal, but that's a different story. And he actually was a stand-up guy and did the right thing there. And when the Bush administration tried to steamroll him and lie about the situation, he said, well, I mean, I did put a memo into the record, and turned out the then FBI director, Robert Mueller, had also done a memo, and it corroborated Comey's memo at the time. At the time, Comey was at the Justice Department, so he was proven right and vindicated in that. So it's not like Comey's memos haven't contradicted a president and been proven right before. They have. Of course, Trump doesn't know any of this because he doesn't bother doing any homework. And that's why I said the day that he decided to keep Comey, I said on the Young Turks, for him, it's a terrible mistake because Comey's a smart guy and he views himself as a hero for better or for worse. Yes, he likes the spotlight, and yes, he likes to contradict his bosses so to show that he has principle. And Trump is going to be a target-rich zone, and that's exactly what he's turned out to be. And Comey documented it all along. And people say that the folks that he talked to said he was made very uncomfortable with the conversations that he had with Donald Trump. Again, he's not alone in that category, right? But if you ask the FBI director to stop an active investigation, that is obstruction of justice 101. Like if you look up obstruction of justice in the dictionary, it'll give you that example.
Yeah, I mean the classic example from Watergate was this exact same thing. The problem is that you said there he asked him to stop the investigation. So Steve Ducey told me through Fox and Friends, he just said he hopes he can let it go. He didn't order him to let it go. Isn't that different? Oh. You know, like if you're in a room with a mobster holding a baseball bat and he says, you know, I wouldn't want to see your nice belongings get smashed. Maybe you shouldn't look into this, police officer. He didn't tell him not to. He just threatened him.
When he said, I hope you pay me the VIG, he didn't say, I'm ordering you to pay the VIG.
Exactly. Now, look, so we haven't actually seen the memo yet, and the White House is saying that it's not true. Trump has not specifically spoken about this yet. There is silence, perhaps the longest gap with no tweets from Trump so far, beating his previous. He's never gone a full day in the past year, but. So we don't know what he believes, but we'll get to a little bit more of that in a second. We have one statement from a White House official saying, while the president has repeatedly expressed his view that General Michael Flynn is a decent man who served and protected our country, the president has never asked Mr. Comey or anyone else to end any investigation, including any investigation involving General Flynn. The president has the utmost respect for our law enforcement agencies and all investigations. This is not a truthful or accurate portrayal of a conversation between the president and Mr. Comey. So that seems like a pretty categorical denial of what has been reported. Theoretically, there are tapes of this, according to the president, perhaps. So maybe we'll find out more about it. But we did hear this. Again, leaks come out every day about the internal state and the state of morale in the White House. So apparently, Trump was furious about the story, according to an official. Who spoke with Politico. He retreated to the White House residence within 75 minutes of it going online, leaving aides to figure out how bad the fallout was. He hasn't been heard from since. He is still pressing the red button to have Diet Cokes delivered to his room. That's the only evidence we have that he's still alive. But it seems, I mean, you're talking about textbook obstruction of justice. Super fast, let's go through this. Immediately after becoming president, he sits down at a dinner with Comey and asks for him to pledge his loyalty to him. Then, a couple of weeks later, he tells him to stop investigating Michael Flynn. A few weeks after that, he finds out through Jeff Sessions that Comey has requested more resources for that investigation. So clearly, he had not called off the investigation. He then fires Comey. Gives a pretext having to do with Hillary Clinton for why he fired him, immediately undercut him by admitting that Russia was on his mind when he did it, and then started tweeting threats to James Comey, who's now a private citizen at that point, about tapes that he's gonna have of their conversations. It has every element of obstruction of justice in exactly the right order to take down a presidency, assuming, and there's no reason we should assume this, that our country still operates under the rule of law.
Okay, now let me add to that. Because we ain't done with him yet. All right, so first of all, on the tapes, Comey's associates are now telling the press, oh, please, please let there be tapes. Because they're, of course, confident that Comey is telling the truth, and Trump, for the billionth time in a row, is not. So now they're not the only ones who are not confident that Trump might be telling the truth here. When his own aides were asked about, hey, so do you know if there are tapes, and do you know what was said? First of all, they said, well, if there are tapes, we haven't heard it. Boy, that'd be interesting, right? And then they said about the meeting, it's not like we were in on the meeting. We had no idea. We still don't really know what was said.
Now, that backs up the part where he cleared the room for it.
Yeah.
Clearly, they weren't in the room.
Now, if you're a top aide to someone, presumably you believe and trust them. So if someone in the press asks you, Politico asks you about this, you go, no, of course the president is right. That's outrageous. You know, you don't go, I don't know, man. You go, I don't know, when you know the guy's lied every other time.
Yeah.
Now it's gotten so bad that aides are refusing to put their names on memos because they're afraid that Donald Trump will contradict them in tweets hours later. So they lie for Trump, they go out there and they go, oh no, this the firing Comey wasn't about Russia. Then Trump goes on TV and goes, yeah, it was about Russia. They say, oh, it was about Hillary Clinton. He goes on and said, well, it wasn't about Hillary Clinton. Yeah. You know, it goes on and on every time. So they're like, well, we're not gonna do it anymore. We're not gonna say, do your lie, and then you contradict us an hour later.
Yeah.
Even on this one, he did the same thing. You know, so I'm sorry, when he gave away the secrets to Russia.
Yeah, where McMaster looked like an idiot.
Yeah, McMaster and Spicer and everybody else said, no, he didn't give away any secrets. And a couple hours later, he tweeted away, yeah, so what? I can give away secrets, I'm the president. Oh, yeah. So they've had enough of that, they don't believe him either. The dates are very relevant here because that dinner that he had with Comey where he asked for the pledge of loyalty was one day after the FBI started investigating and questioning Mike Flynn. The February 14th meeting where he tells him to let the Flynn investigation go is one day after Flynn resigned from office, slash was fired. So both times.
And the firing was just a couple of days after he requested more resources. It's immediate turnaround.
Yeah, both times the minute that Flynn is the center of an investigation, he goes to the FBI and goes, stop investigating him, stop investigating him. That tells you two things. One, obstruction of justice, as we talked about. But the second thing is, Flynn's got something. Trump is in an absolute panic over what Flynn might say. Again, there's another story out where aides are practically tackling Donald Trump so that he doesn't call Mike Flynn, because that would be tampering with a witness. You can't do that, but he's dying to call him. And you know what the schmuck's going to say? It's not going to be sophisticated. He's going to be like, hey, Mike, don't tell him what we did. Okay, so you know, we might consider Mike Flynn's offer of immunity if he's really got something about a Russian deal that Trump's done. So hold for that. This guy's on borrowed time, man. Pence is warming up in the bullpen. This is really, really bad. And on the 75 minutes, I've got to go back to that for one last time. Imagine that you've got Democrats talking about impeachment. You've got Republicans not rebutting them. Okay, so Brett Baer on Fox News said, there are not Republicans willing to go on camera tonight as of yet. And then a White House administration official said, there's this misunderstanding that all these people want to go out there and defend us. Who are they? Do you want to call them? Do you know how to get them on TV? Right? So they have no allies. They're like, did you find an ally?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's willing to back us up. So that's the kind of nightmare scenario that they're in politically. And the dude goes, oh, okay, you guys got this, and goes upstairs and watches reality TV. Are you kidding me? You retired to your residence 75 minutes into the biggest story of your presidency about how you might have obstructed justice?
Yeah.
You know why? He's a child and he doesn't know how to act and he doesn't know how to react. So he's like, oh, I don't know. And he runs away. He runs away. And then afterwards, when people start making up lies and bungle it because there's no correct way to handle this, he'll come out and be angry at them. Go, you screwed it up. It wasn't me. You did it. Sean Spicer did it wrong. Why did he hide in the bushes? And why did he do the lies I told him to do but not do them well enough? He just wants to be able to blame someone else. He's so ready to run away. That's why Roger Stone's going around with the Alzheimer's rumors. Everybody's ready to pull the chute. And then, look, finally, on the Republican reaction, I told you the three steps before he resigns. One is Republicans start backing away. Chaffetz already did that. And then now Chaffetz comes in and goes, no, I got my subpoena pen. I'm ready to see those memos. That is a big blow. And then I realized,
one week from now, he's requested all memos concerning communications between Comey and Trump.
Okay, so that's a big, bold move. And then I realized something that Michael Schur had shown in his reporting on TYT politics during the campaign. Mormons particularly dislike Donald Trump. Remember, Evan McMullen did really well in Utah, and it's not just because of Evan McMullen. They are immigrants to this country in a lot of ways. They feel like they are a minority that is discriminated against. They don't like Trump's talk against immigrants and Muslims. I know it's like, I didn't know that. And Michael went and interviewed people, and it turns out that's a real thing. So if Chaffetz, who's thinking of running for governor in Utah and is not going to stay in the House anymore, goes, hey, you know what? Let me see those memos. Let's see where this thing leads. He's in a world of trouble. That's step one. Step two is his old enemies, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, all the people that he went after come to shiv him. So on that note, we have John McCain saying, we've seen this movie before. I think it appears at a point where it's of Watergate size and scale. That is a significant comment, man. That is a Republican senator talking about how this is like Watergate. I think that John McCain might be looking forward to a moment where he says, I prefer presidents who weren't impeached.
It is a big move, it's a big quote from John McCain, because John McCain so far has been willing to criticize Trump, but hasn't actually done anything yet. He keeps talking. That's great. That's more than Republicans will do. But I would like to see some actual action. And you have Amash and you have Angus King talking about the possibility of impeachment. I would say that, look, I don't know the Watergate history as well as a lot of people do, certainly Michael Schur. But it seems like it's likely the crime in this case far worse than Watergate, and the cover-up both more bungled and more all-inclusive. Like, I've listened to the tapes from Nixon talking about the possibility of intimidating the FBI into backing down. They weren't as clear as these memos apparently are. So I think it's actually worse in this case than it was under Watergate.
Because as I told you, and why I said, however long ago I did, that he's done. he is not smart enough to pull off a cover-up. Not remotely smart enough. And when they, I mean, this is already bungled in an epic, historic way. I mean, who is stupid enough to come out and say, yeah, I fired Comey because of the Russia thing? I mean, it's unbelievable. Who's stupid enough to come out and say, yeah, I gave the Russians top secret information, but I could. I mean, what a child, what a fool, right? So he has no sense of how to do that. But you think that that same guy hid the money he got from the Russians in a sophisticated way? No, he probably left it out in the open on his bed. Right? He probably put it in like Bank of America. It was like, I don't know. Signed from Russia with love in the note for the check. Right? So tick tock.
Look, unfortunately, because there's so much to cover today, we're not going to cover it in depth, but there is apparently now a part of the investigation being conducted into the whole campaign and all the Russia stuff, all that is $850 million that were given to one of his business associates that then was turned around and put into a Trump-branded hotel in Toronto. $850 million coming from a Russian bank, of course. Even though we've been assured many times that he doesn't have any loans or any debts from Russia, hasn't had any business with them, we find out about, oops, maybe $1 billion.
Everybody thinks that Trump has hotels and towers and golf courses, that's his real business. No, his real business is running a laundromat. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's been running that laundromat for the Russians for quite some time and not remotely smart enough to cover it up well. So yeah, the Russians have been busy covering it up. You see how many people they assassinated since the election? What is it, 6-7 diplomats assassinated, 9 people overall, people falling out of buildings, and the Russian government saying, I don't know, somehow a bathtub fell on them. Okay, so all right, the Russians are busy doing that. Putin's a smart guy. Trump, on his end, there's no way he covered it up right. So not only is he a goner, soon you might hear chance of lock him up, lock him
up.
Well,
actually, we'll have that shortly. But I do want to turn to one thing, because you said that there's different stages of the Republicans possibly turning on him. And certainly John McCain, Lindsey Graham, a few others willing to criticize Trump leading up to today, but also with the Comey memo. But not everybody is willing to do it. So Paul Ryan, still a powerful Republican, I guess, to the extent that he can be. He was asked about the Comey memo, and here's what he said.
Let me tell you what I told our members just this morning. We need the facts. It is obvious there are some people out there who want to harm the president, but we have an obligation to carry out our oversight regardless of which party is in the White House. And that means before rushing to judgment, we get all the pertinent information. And I'm sure we're going to want to hear from Mr. Comey about why, if this happens as he allegedly describes, why didn't take action at the time. But the point is this. We can't deal with speculation and innuendo, and there's clearly a lot of politics being played.
The framing on that is amazing. We have to take seriously, it doesn't matter if it's a Republican, we have to take seriously our obligation to look into James Comey. What did he do? Should he go to jail?
No, but this is step three. So the last step is Paul Ryan finishes him.
And says he has the utmost confidence in Donald Trump
still. Of course he does. And so we're not there yet. But this is the beginning of the end. So Paul Ryan's not saying, oh, I've lost confidence. No, if he said that, we're already done, right? But for him to say, hey, listen, Democrat or Republican, we have to investigate. Now, that's a talking point that you could say. But the question is, what do you follow it up with? When he said, we support the subpoenas of the Oversight Committee, that means go ahead and get the memos. And we know what a schmuck this guy is. And we know what those memos are going to show. So he's at least got the shiv out. It isn't in Trump yet, but it's coming.
Okay. Possibility. Do you want to take our first break before we turn?
Apparently.
Maybe get some water. Maybe it's not a bad idea. So look, when we come back from this break, obviously the shutting down of the investigation, that's the big headline from the memo. But there's actually another section to it that's scary in a whole different way, in a different area. And we'll get to that after this break.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola with you guys today. Let me read some tweets for you guys. Hashtag TYT live to talk to us live during the show. Of course, it's live 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. I love that we're back on Sirius. You guys get it a couple hours later, but bless your hearts. It feels so good to be back on Sirius XM. All right, Kololo writes in, does Cenk realize he's a civil rights leader? No, I do not, but thank you. He says, that's what I call him when I tell people about him because it's true. Well, that is maybe the kindest thing anybody's ever said about me, but thank you very much. He's, I think it was, of course, in reference to the Clark story. And Miri says about Sheriff David Clark, Clark is the epitome of an Uncle Tom right next to Ben Carson. Now, I didn't say it, Miri said it. Chris Durant says, Trump is still hiring people into his administration. What's the point of doing that if he's about to get impeached? Okay. John Miller says, quoting me, unlike cable news, we can chew and walk gum at the same time. He says, love him or hate him, Cenk is definitely a real person.
Unlike cable news, we can't get idioms right.
Yeah.
We just can't do it. We
okay, don't have to tell. I'm going to have to make a note to the editors on walking gum. We're going to take that out.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, thank you guys for the tweets. Yeah. So one more quick thing for you guys. Did you guys notice John's shirt?
Oh, come on. Okay. Come on, the shirt.
Jurassic Prick.
New design for the graphics department. That is awesome. One of my favorite movies. That's just a great design.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I love it. In fact, I almost wore the same exact shirt today, which would have been awkward.
I always have backup shirts just in case.
Instead, I went with millennial pink.
God. That's the avocado toast of shirts.
All right, what's next?
Anyway,
what's next is giant breaking news, by the way. Sorry.
Dramatic breaking news. According to the Justice Department, this just came out, so we're light on details. They are appointing a special prosecutor to investigate Russia's alleged involvement in the 2016 presidential election. This is coming out from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who you probably heard a lot about over the past 2 weeks, saying this about, by the way, former FBI Director Robert Mueller, who we were just speaking about, is going to be the special prosecutor. This is what Rosenstein said in a statement. Based upon the unique circumstances, the public interest requires me to place this investigation under the authority of a person who exercises a degree of independence from the normal chain of command. Oh, a degree. That's good. Why not total independence? Anyway, a special counsel is necessary in order for the American people to have full confidence in the outcome. Our nation is grounded in the rule of law, and the public must be assured that government officials administer the law fairly.
So let me interpret this piece of news for you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not yet, but close. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, we got, okay. So
we played that when he fired him, by the way, the ladies and gentlemen.
I know. No, it's on its way. So this is great news. So what people were asking for was a special prosecutor. This is gigantic news. We now have the special prosecutor. What I was really worried about was that Trump was going to pick like Rudy Giuliani or Tiffany Trump or Bo Dietl or
Steve Doocy.
You're right, some guy he likes on Fox News. So Rosenstein, who is the deputy attorney general, now remember the attorney general Jeff Sessions has recused himself kind of from dealing with the Russian investigation. Rosenstein is more trusted by bipartisan officials in D.C. Now delivers and picks Robert Mueller. Now Robert Mueller was FBI director under Bush, so you know, okay. But here's what we know about Mueller and why I'm very excited by this. He's the guy who backed up Comey during the Bush saga when they did the warrantless wiretapping, and Comey drew the line and said that's illegal. You, the Bush administration, are not allowed to do that. And the guy who backed him up was then FBI Director Robert Mueller. Now that Robert Mueller is now the special prosecutor. Trump. Na 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 na. Look, if there's nothing, then Mueller will say there's nothing. And we have a lot of circumstantial evidence already in the public record, right? Yeah. But we don't have a smoking gun. Well, him saying, let Flynn go. Okay, as long as that we can
and
prove
then
that.
And he fires him and said he had Rush on his mind when he did it.
Right. Now, if we can prove all that, if you've got the memos, especially if you have the tapes, etc., he's a goner, right? But that's Mueller's job. And Mueller is going to be very careful, and I think is I think he's as nonpartisan as we could have hoped for. Yeah. So, and he's a professional. And I think that if you bring that professional in, they're going to do their due diligence, and they're going to find a ton of evidence against Trump.
Exactly. I mean, look, it could take months. It could take longer than that. And I would say to Robert Mueller, if you have any conversations with Donald Trump, take very detailed memos afterward. They could be important, maybe. And understand that while this is going to be going on, hopefully there won't be obstruction of this portion. You also have a second Senate committee asking Comey to come and testify. It seems likely at this point that that's going to happen, especially once those documents documents come out within the next week. So a lot of things are going on. They're not directly connected necessarily, the multiple facets of this investigation. But this is a new one. It's one that we definitely needed. I know a lot of people have been calling for a special prosecutor, tons of politicians. At last night's town hall, Bernie Sanders was calling for it again. And so this is definitely a good development.
Can I be the
Debbie Downer?
Yeah. Okay, nobody knows. I don't work with Department of Justice. I don't know how special prosecutors work, exactly what he's going to be focused on. But it sounds like he's going to be focused on whether or not the Russians interfered with the election, the day of the election. Not about with collusion, not about any kind of the way that Flynn was set up to be blackmailed, not about how they owe them something or the way the conversations were possibly had. He said, if I'm elected, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, the way we think possibly happened. None of that doesn't seem like, maybe I'm wrong, I'm just sitting here. it doesn't seem like that's the focus. The focus is, did they get inside the old Diebold machines and change our votes? And I can say, you know, we found out they didn't. The Russians didn't hack our voting machines and change the election results. And Hillary actually won all those states that she actually lost because she should have. So it's not that that's what they're looking for. They're potentially looking for whether or not they did that. And when they come out and say, no, they didn't hack the machines, then the narrative is going to say, you see, everything you've said about the Russian collusion is BS. And that's not going to be accurate, and it's going to let them walk. It's a facade.
I don't read that into the statement. It's possible that that's what they're going to do. Look, at this point, I wish that he would focus on Comey's time as head of the FBI under Trump, because it seems like that is an area where, again, like with Watergate, where the cover-up is worse than the crime, it's looking pretty bad at this point. I don't know that it's worse than the crime, but it's pretty bad.
No, the crime's really bad.
Yeah. But the cover-up is bad,
too. That's my guess. Okay, JR is our resident skeptic and playing that role well today.
But that said, please edit that portion of the video out.
Yes. No, that's already gone.
I hope, Mary, I hope that you can see fit to remove that part of the video. I hope. JR is a nice guy, but I hope you can see fit to make that
disappear. Now, he's not ordering you. He's just saying he hopes. The Whitewater investigation was supposed to be about some real estate deal in Arkansas, which many, many years later, they did realize Bill Clinton didn't do anything wrong in Whitewater. But what'd they get him on? Sleeping with an intern. It starts somewhere, it ends somewhere else completely. Now, that was a witch hunt, right? And that was politics, and they did it on purpose, and Ken Starr's whole point was to get Clinton by hook or by crook. Now, Mueller's not that guy, but if Mueller is honest, maybe that's a big if, but I'm hopeful on it. All he has to do is scratch the surface. Again, maybe I'm wrong about all of it. Maybe Trump is some sort of mad genius and no, I'm not wrong about that. Okay. So Mueller's going to find plenty of stuff. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll figure this out, and hopefully one day I'll do a big told you, and we will play this to its conclusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
not yet though. Not yet.
We what? What did we do? Stay tuned.
I'm wrong. Bottom line, so I'm just saying what I think I'm seeing
here.
That's
wrong. Okay, let's turn to a slightly different angle on this as we close out the Comey memo portion. While people are understandably focusing on the portion of the Comey memo where Trump apparently pressures the head of the FBI to stop investigating one of his buddies, there was another section that's scary in a very different area. I mean, the first part, you have him pressuring government officials to not investigate. But here you have an area on the media. This is what it said. Alone in the Oval Office, Mr. Trump began the discussion by condemning leaks to the news media, saying that Mr. Comey should consider putting reporters in prison for publishing classified information, according to one of Mr. Comey's associates who had the memo shared with him at that point. So this is not exactly the first time that Trump has talked about imprisoning journalists, changing the laws in terms of libel and slander and those sorts of things. But here he's talking to the then head of the FBI and saying the people who receive and publish leaked information, which is one of the things historically journalists do in America and abroad, that they should be imprisoned. And again, this is an area where it goes beyond just the content of the investigation into Russia or whatever the topic is. Once he has a more friendly head of the FBI in, he is a guy who philosophically thinks that journalists who publish things he doesn't like should end up in jail. And that's scary going forward in any area.
So as usual, he doesn't understand the concept of America. You think he's read the Constitution? Come on. I don't care how much of a Trump supporter you are, you know he hasn't read it. You know he has no idea what those amendments say. So and even if he did, which I will never concede that he has, okay. Oh, I'd love to give him an immigration test. You know, the one they give when you're trying to get a green card or become a citizen. Mm-hmm. Oh, he'd get 1 out of 10. He'd be a miserable fan. Anyway,
he'd fail a BuzzFeed test.
And you'll never believe the question he missed.
No.
37 questions Trump missed. You'll never believe 27. All right. But if you believe in America and the Constitution, I mean, boy, does it get any more central to the mission and ideals of America than freedom of the press? And if you just don't believe in that, and you think that we should imprison journalists because you didn't like them or they offended you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's literally un-American. And it's always like the guys who claim to be the most American and jingoistic and we're going to make America first and we're going to make America great again, who actually don't believe in the country at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a wannabe dictator, and that's what dictators do. Yeah. Authoritarian goons lock up journalists. And look, I think we've been slipping towards that direction far too much already. I thought Obama went way too far in that direction, using the espionage against journalists. And anytime you touch power, all of a sudden the people in power don't like it and want to shut you up.
Regardless of party.
Yeah, and when Obama did it, we said, number one, it is terrible on its face, and he should have never done it. Number two, it opens a door, and when the next Republican comes in, then that, you know, we could have a host of terrorists fly out of that door, and here we are, and with a sitting president asking the director of the FBI, hey, can we just throw these journalists in prison for doing their job, which is getting leaks from the government? And by the way, his administration leaks like to no end, including the ones that he's in favor of, right? There's all these positive leaks about Trump, too. Are you going to put those guys in jail? No, you're only going to imprison the people who don't suck up to power. Yeah. And that's the antithesis of what we believe in as Americans.
And I mean, here's like we always find out, he does X terrible thing, it has no effect on his supporters. If he literally locked up a dozen journalists, 80% of his supporters would be like, yeah, they were hurting the president, they were hurting the country.
They'd chant, lock them up, and they'd be enthusiastic about it. But that's because they're un-American goons.
Yeah.
They are. Go read the Constitution.
That's just the way you said that was funny.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I want to go to one more video though. So there have been talks from a few people in the media recently, in government, I should say, Amash and Angus King. We were talking a little bit earlier about that, about the possibility of impeachment. I know that Bernie Sanders in the town hall yesterday said it's still way too early to be talking about that. Schiff saying the same. Another Democratic politician saying it's too early, and I totally understand that. But for one politician, it is not too early to take to the floor of the House and deliver a speech literally calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump. That is going to be Representative Al Green, Democrat of Houston. And here is what he said.
I rise today, Mr. Speaker, to call for the impeachment of the President of the United States of America for obstruction of justice. I do not do this for political purposes, Mr. Speaker. I do this because I believe in the great ideals that this country stands for. Liberty and justice for all. The notion that we should have government of the people, by the people, for the people. I do it because, Mr. Speaker, there is a belief in this country that no one is above the law. And that includes the President of the United States of America.
And thus it begins. So we, of course, have Democrats now who are saying we should think about it, we should consider it, we're on the road to impeachment, we have the first call for impeachment there. But it doesn't end in Democrats. If it did, you could say, oh, well, it's just partisan stuff. First of all, Justin Amash now on the Republican side saying, now, if what Comey says is true, well, then, you know, we've got to start considering these drastic actions. Now, Amash never liked Trump in the first place, but still it's a giant thing for a Republican to say a Republican president should be considered for impeachment in any way, shape, or form. Then you got Democrats again, like Senator Richard Blumenthal, saying we are witnessing an obstruction of justice case unfolding in real time.
Yeah.
It's true, we're seeing it right in front of our eyes. Then we go to the GOP again. Representative Kevin Cramer, who's a Trump supporter, complained that the White House keeps changing its story. Now, that's not anywhere near calling for impeachment, but these guys are frustrated. And they've got eyes like we do. And yes, they're professional liars. But as they look at that, they go, oh, they can't keep one lie straight. At least when we, in the good old days of Republican talking points, we'd take one lie, like, hey, if we give giant tax cuts to the richest people in the country, it'll trickle down to you. Yeah, 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 we're doing it for you guys. Not for the guys actually getting the money, but for you guys who might get it later. But they would stick with that lie. And Kevin Cramer and the others are super frustrated. They're like, they can't even stick to a goddamn lie.
Yeah.
So they're incredibly frustrated. McCain off talking about how this is the size of Watergate. Bob Corker saying they're in a downward spiral. These are all Republicans. And then a House GOP aide said, I love this. He's trying to, this aide is trying to say we shouldn't go towards impeachment. But look at his quote. Quote, gross incompetence is not an impeachable offense. That's the best they got.
That's his friend. Yeah. Okay, why don't we take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we've got a dramatic video of the security forces of President Erdogan of Turkey attacking protesters outside of an ambassador's house in Washington, D.C. You're not going to want to miss that. But we're going to do a break. For those of you watching on YouTube, during this break, we're going to do a video for you. This is Donald Trump speaking at a Coast Guard commencement ceremony. And look at how quickly he turns the speech to be exclusively about him. You're going to see that if you're watching on YouTube, and we'll be back after this.
All right, back on the Young Turks, don't get me started. All right, Jake and John with you guys.
I know what you're talking
about. Okay. We're just talking about something off here. It's all inappropriate. Okay.
On Old School tonight.
But let me give you guys a poll real quick. Remember when James Comey was first fired, we asked, is Donald Trump done? Over 20,000 people have already voted on that. So far, 73% to 26%, 27% saying, yeah, he is done. But go vote, tytnetwork.com/Trump. That's how you vote there.
By the way, tweets. So you said remember when Comey was fired? Like, yeah. So much has happened since, it was like 8 days ago.
I know, it seems like a year and a half ago. It's amazing that it was only 8 days. Every time we come on air, there's another giant breaking news that we have to read in a panic during the break to bring to you guys.
One of my favorite tweets so far today, so Lauren Duca, who writes for Teen Vogue, I believe, who got big because she was on the big story anyway, she just tweeted, lol, it's only Wednesday. Like, yeah. It's just crazy how much can happen in a week when you have a dullard like Trump as president.
Yeah, but you know, when Pence becomes president, like, we're not going to get news for like a year and a half.
He is hiding in the shadows. He's in a bush in darkness, hiding.
No, he's in the bullpen,
trying to keep
man.
His hands off all this.
Right now, the Republicans are doing this. Anyway, Derek Martin says, I don't know who's responsible for picking Mueller, but that's one of the best decisions out of Washington since November. It's not that long. But anyway, Roy Lehman. Roy Lehman says, the director for Mueller needs to be scoured to see exactly what he's supposed to investigate. Meltdown investigators were toothless. Well, so Roy, one of our other viewers actually just sent it to JR, and JR and I both just read it. And it says you can investigate the election and anything that arises out of the election investigation.
So kind of like Whitewater.
Yeah, it's that's broad enough to keep going. So I think that's good. And then Nick Verna says, don't forget about the influence of the Koch brothers on impeachment. Their boy Pence is warming up in the pen. Now, I'm going to give Nick a t-shirt because that's a really great point. Not because of the bullpen thing. I've been saying that now for a day and a half. God bless your heart, though. told you. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, no, remember the Koch brothers, and we haven't pointed this out in a while, did not support Donald Trump. And they are the largest donors to the Republican Party overall. Now, the Mercers wound up being giant donors to Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, and they were his biggest donors. But the Koch brothers never bought into Donald Trump, and they love Mike Pence. And in fact, today, you know where Mike Pence, Kellyanne Conway, Reince Priebus, and almost half the administration were? They were at a Republican fundraiser. Now, here's my speculation on that. They're going to get their marching orders. Are we still with him? Or are we not with him? Because you know who the real bosses are. It's not Priebus and Pence. It's the donors.
It's the voter. Oh, I thought you were going to
the voters. 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 That's a good one.
It's the people. It's the citizen. No.
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, they went to go do a focus group of people in Kentucky. No, they went to their donors and said, well, what would you like us to do, master? Okay. All right. What's next?
Okay. dramatic news again. Following an oddly chummy meeting between President Trump and President Erdogan of Turkey, Erdogan's bodyguards were actually caught on video brawling with protesters. So it's dramatic footage. We're going to give you all the details. We want to go to this now. Take a look at what was captured.
Get out, don't talk. Stay.
Get back! They attacked this man. You saw him. You came right at him.
Hey,
get across the street. Okay. Get across the street. Hey,
Get across the street. To the curb.
Okay, so that's dramatic footage. Let's break down what you were seeing there. So according to witnesses, the brawl erupted when his security detail, this is the president of Turkey's security detail, attacked protesters carrying the flag of the Kurdish PYD party outside the ambassador's residence in DC. A local NBC television affiliate reported that Erdogan was inside that building at the time. Metropolitan Police Department spokesman Dustin Sternbeck said two people were arrested, including one who was charged with assaulting a police officer. And we believe that in the earlier portion of that video, you saw a gentleman on the ground being kicked twice in the head by people in suits. It seems like those were probably the security officials.
Yes.
Now, apparently, the scuffle started when supporters of Erdogan and protesters began to fight. The guards then went outside and immediately attacked the protesters on behalf of the supporters of Erdogan.
Okay, so let's break it down further. So the guys in the suits are the Turkish security guards. You see on the tape, you can see it with your own eyes there. They're charging at the protesters. Now, what we don't see on tape is who started in the first place.
Yeah.
Kurdish side, Turk side. I don't know. And honestly, I don't care for the purpose of this story because we're not talking about the protesters here. If the protesters, one side attacked the other, that's an assault issue that the Washington DC can deal with, etc. What are the Turkish security guards doing getting in the middle of a fight? And to the point where the American police have to separate them from the protesters. And while they're separating them, as you just saw there, they viciously kicked that guy in the head, let alone all the other attacks. It's embarrassing. So now I'll tell you my guess as to why they did it. So that Kurdish flag they think represents terrorism. So they think the Kurdish separatists, whether they're in Syria or in Turkey, are terrorists that are fighting against Turkey. So they get upset, and any attack on a fellow Turk is considered the worst thing in the world. So if they see people flying that flag and they see them attacking Turkish Americans on the side of the road, they think, okay, let's go bum rush them. No, you can't bum rush them. You can't do that in the middle of America. You can't attack and punch and kick protesters in America.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Erdogan's bodyguards have gotten away in Turkey with doing a lot of that.
And a lot worse.
Yes, and we've seen the videos of them assaulting protesters in Turkey. But this isn't Turkey, this is America. So that's not what we do here. And so at a bare minimum, what they're doing is deeply embarrassing Turkey, because now people think, okay, what's Turkey? Bunch of thugs come in and start attacking protesters.
Yeah.
That's not a good look, okay? Yeah. And And second of all, just understand the concept, man. And that's the essence of the problem for Erdogan's government, which is if I disagree with you, it doesn't mean you should kick my ass.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, they've built up a lot of power using intimidation tactics just like this. So a tiger doesn't change his stripes. They come here and they think, who cares? Let's just do the same thing. We can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have one more photo if we can actually show, showing one of the suspected security guards choking a woman there. Yeah, and look, anyone who resorts so easily to violence, it's awful. But when you hold all of the power and you believe that violence should be the first go-to, you see protesters. It's just, this is America. You're allowed to protest, okay? To go out there and immediately begin assaulting people, kicking women in the face on the ground. There's many photos going around of women, just blood streaming down their faces. Now, as we said with the MP's statement, we don't know exactly how many arrests there were. A statement was put out by the State Department earlier today, a tweet from Julie Davis saying, "We are communicating our concern to the Turkish government in the strongest possible terms." Great.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's something. And it came out slightly before we went live today that the State Department is actually working right now to ID the individual security guards identified in the footage, but they don't currently know who they are. And we don't know if they do identify them, what will actually be done. But understand that in the background of all this, Erdogan visits, meets with Trump. If there was one critical word, one word critical of the Turkish regime and what they've done, especially recently in Turkey, I have heard nothing about it. And this is a regime, this is a president who still has thousands of journalists, police officers, judges, civil servants of various sorts in jail right now. Journalists in jail, some journalists have been killed very recently in Turkey. And to have him here and to say not a single critical word, not standing up for any of the values that we supposedly represent as a country, is at least as offensive as the assaults we just witnessed.
But why would Trump do that? He probably looks up to Erdogan.
He's spoken very favorably about him in the past.
So
he congratulated him on the win of the referendum not too long ago.
So we just found out that he asked James Comey to imprison reporters who covered leaks coming from the Trump White House. So as he looks at Erdogan, who's imprisoned all those journalists in Turkey, he probably thinks, wow, that's so great. I wish I could be like this guy. And then a power grab that Erdogan did to make him far more powerful and basically get rid of the old ways. You can't really argue with that. It definitely got rid of the old system in Turkey, which had more diffused power and centralized that power at the top. Trump thinks that sounds wonderful. Yeah. He probably took notes like, hey, Erdogan, you're at least smart. I'm not that bright. Can you tell me how to be more authoritarian? And Erdogan's like, no, I could do one better. Look at what my guards are about to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope that Trump was not taking notes. Look, it's one thing that if Turks are of course upset about Kurdish terrorism and they're worried about Americans arming Kurds in Syria and where those weapons might go, if they're concerned about Fethullah Gulen, who lives in Pennsylvania and might or might not have organized a coup against Erdogan, well, I think those are legitimate concerns.
Yeah,
it's another thing to act like this and. You're not doing yourself any favors, and you're certainly not doing the country any favors.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. The last story was about how pissed Israel is that we gave up their source, Trump did.
And potentially got one of their spies killed.
And how they're very likely not going to give us any more information, thereby making us less safe, and how their source might be killed.
Yeah.
So imagine if Hillary Clinton had done that.
Or Obama. Anyone.
Yep. All right. Thank you, John. Everybody check out youtube.com/thinktank. And like I said earlier in the show, now when we come back with Anna, we're going to do a story that is actually in the midst of all this madness. Great news. Wonderful news. So that when we return.